All right. Well, if it's a good moment and it's memorable, you hate to stop, but I'm going to have to stop you. I love all the conversation, though. It sounds like we have some good memories, you know, to look back on and remember and some good things that happened in our life. You know, today's one of those days, you know, baby dedication. And you know, I had all you guys raise your hand, and a lot of you go, well, I can't remember when I was, you know, I was dedicated because I was a baby. So, but a lot of you maybe remember when you dedicated your children, and you look back on that as this big day. I was telling somebody earlier that, you know, today marks a special day for me and Katie, and I'm going to talk about in a minute, but my mom throughout my life, she has said, you know, me and your dad dedicated you to the Lord. And people have said, when he said he was going to be a pastor, you know, what'd you think about that? And she said, well, I dedicated him to the Lord. So whatever, you know, that's fine. That's how I dedicated him. I meant it. So whatever. And me and Katie moved overseas. Well, what do you think about that? She said, well, I dedicated him. And she'd look back to that day, and that was like a mile marker. It was a marker in her life. And she could say, you know, in days when my child does something in the will of God that blows me away and scares me to death, I can go back to that moment and say, but I said, I dedicated and I meant it. And, you know, we're doing that today. And so Jamie and Michael, you know, you guys are at the beginning of a great journey. It probably doesn't feel like the beginning. You're probably already really tired, but you're at the beginning of a journey of parenting, and Isla Jane will grow, and you'll, you know, Michael will be interviewing, you know, boyfriends one day, and, you'll need a lot of strength for that. He's like, yeah, right. But you'll need a lot of strength for that, and you're going to go, how do I do that? How do, as a dad, do I treat, you know, these jerks? No, that just need to get out of my life. But no, you know, you look as parents, and we want to make this day a special day, because this is an intentional day that's important, because you're going to get into that journey. And listen, I'm in it when I say I was a terrible kid, and you're, as parents, you're going to say, what are we doing here? What's the point of all this? How do we? And you can look back to this day and go, that anchor in our lives, that's a day we can look back to and say, that memorial there, she is God's, and we are God's, and we're dedicated to raising her in a certain way. You know, a little later on today, we're going to give a local license, and I don't really know how to word it, Bailey, because we're giving it to you, but we're not giving it to you. God has given it to you by virtue of your calling, and we're the arm that does that for God, but on God's behalf. But you know, we're going to grant that, and I remember the day that I received my local license. I'll never forget it, because I was awkward and backwards and shy and horrible, and I remember thinking, you know, God has to be the only person that thinks that I can do anything for the kingdom. And then a local church said, no, we think so too, and we see it in you. And so on days when you wonder what you're doing and if you can do it, and whether or not this calling is something that maybe I was wrong and I was mistaken and that maybe I can ditch it and get out, you'll go back to today and you'll say, no, it wasn't just me, but a body of Christ said, we see in you all that there is to the makings of a minister, and we see the call and the gifts, and you're gonna remember that, and it's gonna anchor you. So it's important to have these days, these anchors, these memorials of God, and it's a very deep-seated biblical practice of the people of God. They've done it throughout Scripture. If you read the biblical narrative, you're gonna go, wow, they were doing this a lot. People of God said, we're gonna set aside a day or a moment or a place or a person or a thing, and we're gonna say, this is in the journey of life, in the journey of this or in the journey of that, whatever task we've been set to, whatever season we're in, we're going to meet troubles. We know that if you haven't suffered yet as a human being, your turn is coming. And so when that happens, and when we're in trials and we face troubles and sufferings, the church and the people of God, even all the way back to the beginning, have said, we need anchors in our life that we can go back to and say, yes, here, I know that it's true. I know who I am and whose I am because of this. One of those great instances I wanted to share a little bit about with you this morning comes from the book of Joshua chapter 4. And I want to read this and then just unpack it for a little while together this morning. Joshua chapter 4, first 7 verses, and then skipping down and reading near the end of the chapter there, 16 through 19. Listen to this. When the entire nation had finished crossing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, select 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them. Take 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan River. From the place where the priest's feet stood, carry them over with you and lay them down in the place where you camp tonight. Then Joshua summoned the 12 men from the Israelites whom he had appointed, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, one for each of the tribes of the Israelites, so that this may be a sign among you when your children ask you in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you'll tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the Israelites a memorial forever. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. Those 12 stones which they had taken out of the Jordan, Joshua set those up in Gilgal, and he said to the Israelites, when your children ask their parents in time to come, what do these stones mean? Then you will let your children know. Israel crossed over the Jordan here on dry ground. Because the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we crossed over. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. This is a really special day for me and Katie as well. Today marks the day when we spent our first day in Bulgaria. I remember landing in Bulgaria. Many of you probably have no idea where that is, and neither did I. And I remember asking, what do they speak in Bulgaria? And they were like, well, Bulgarian. Well, how was I supposed to know that? We showed up there, and we were exhausted. We were jet-lagged. Katie threw up on the plane ride over to Bulgaria about 10 times. And I remember at one point, I was 22. She was 8. No, I was 23. She was 19. We'd just been married for about 8 months, and she looked at me and she said, please take me home. If you've ever been a husband, whoo, highlight. We got Bulgaria and we landed, and I remember riding in a car, and we were on our way to Razgrad, Bulgaria, out in the middle of nowhere in the mountains of Bulgaria. And I remember she looked over in the car at me, and she gave me that look like, what in the world were we thinking? I remember in that moment seeing that car, I went back to where it all began. Me and Katie one night, this was before we were married. No, it was right after we were married. It was in February, and we were driving home at about midnight after dropping off a young lady. She was a teenager, and we'd had an event. I was pastoring a church in Morgan County, Tennessee. Anybody know where that is? Wartburg, in the middle of nowhere, coal mining territory. And we were on this curvy back road about midnight. We had a railroad track on our right and a river on our left in between Lenore City and Wartburg, Tennessee, middle of Morgan County. And we were driving down the road, and God had spoken to me already and said, listen, I want you to do ministry in Bulgaria. I want you to live there. I want you to go there. He hadn't said that to Katie yet. And being a married couple and partners, I figured that if God really wanted me to go to Bulgaria, he'd let Katie in on that. So he told me we were going to Bulgaria, but I was just waiting and praying and waiting on her. And just figuring, you know, that God would get to her in God's due time. And I remember driving down the road, we just dropped this girl off. We'd been at a youth kind of revival type event, and the preacher had preached. And so we were in the car, it's about midnight, we're driving down the road, and I look over and Katie's sniffling, and she looks over at me with tears in her eyes, and she says, we're going to move to Bulgaria. I remember she had tears in her eyes and started falling down her face. She started crying. I started crying. We were crying together in the car, driving down a curvy back road. And I remember we cried for a while, and we're going to do this, you know, 19, 20, and 23 years old. And we have no idea what we're doing, but God's calling us, and we're going to do this. And didn't have any money either. I don't know how we were going to get there. And she said, well, what are we going to do? And she just kind of laughed. And I stomped on the brakes in the car and pulled over to the side of the road, turned my flashers on, and got out of the car. We both got out of the car, stood there in the middle of Morgan County, middle of nowhere, railroad tracks on the right, river on the left, and we leaned on our hood of our car and we prayed. And I remember I grabbed her and I said, this spot, this moment, our parents are going to think we have absolutely lost our mind. And so is everybody else. And they're going to wonder why in the world we're going to Bulgaria, and they're going to tell us we're too young and we're going to destroy our marriage and all this kind of stuff we heard. And I said, but let's never forget this spot. Where God told you. I didn't ask you. God told you and you told me. And we cried and we hugged and I said, we'll never forget this spot. And we hugged and we got back in our car. The days would come later on. I would never forget that moment. And I remember riding in that car going through Bulgaria, going around that curvy road. Babe, I don't know if you remember, the mountain was up on the left and the road was over on the right. Sorry. And I remember riding down that road looking over at my 19-year-old wife, who's sick to death with a pale white face from the plane ride in the car. She gets car sick too, bless her heart. And we were sitting there, and I remembered that road, and I remember that crisp evening, and I remember hugging my wife and looking in her face and saying, no matter who says we're crazy, no matter what comes, we're never going to forget this moment. And I can take you today to that spot. The Israelites, in the beginning of Joshua, have a brand new leader. Moses just died, and he said to them, listen, I'm going to send you into a brand new country. You've never been there before. All your parents and grandparents were there for just a little while, but they're all dead now, and it's just you. And I'm going to send you into this new land full of enemies, full of obstacles, full of trials, and it's actually your home. You just don't know it yet. It's your home. It's been given to you by God, but you have to inherit it. You have to do the work of receiving what God has given. So I'm going to send you into this promised land, and by the way, I can't go with you. I got to die now. now. So they go to the Jordan River. Moses goes up on a mountain, croaks over. And so they cross over this river. And there they are. They got a brand new leader. It's a guy named Joshua. Joshua's young. He's untried. He's never been their leader before. He kind of was an apprentice to Moses, but he's never fought any big battles for them, never done anything great for them. He's brand new. He hasn't kind of earned their trust or rapport or anything. And they go into this brand new land, and they got to cross over the Jordan River. So here they are. They're a young people. They've not seen God do lots of miracles. You'll notice in the passage that Joshua says to them, "This God is the God who took you through the Sea of the Red Sea." They hadn't been through the Red Sea. They weren't born yet. Their parents and grandparents had. But these are young people. They're new people. Their parents and grandparents had not received what God tried to give them. So they all died off in the wilderness. So here they are crossing the Jordan River. Jordan, it's flood season, by the way, for the Jordan River. So it's flooded, okay? It's deeper than usual. There's no way to cross it. So, unless there's some miracle. And so Moses says, you're going to cross the Jordan River now. Good luck. I'm going to go up here and die. And, got you new leader, though, even though you have no idea who he is or what he's about and all this stuff. So good luck. So here they go. They're going to cross the Jordan River. And all of a sudden, God stops up the waters of the Jordan River. Now, it's like, you think about the Red Sea where it goes whoosh like this. No. The scripture says that God just stopped the river from flowing. So there's just a wall of water, I'm assuming. And the Israelites just walk across the Jordan on dry ground. It's dry, and they just walk across it. This is one of the first times I've ever seen God do something really kind of out of this world, incredibly extraordinary as a new generation under a new leader. So Joshua leads them across the Jordan River. They get across the Jordan River and it's still dry. And then that's when God says, go get the stones, okay, and get one for each family, and they get the stones. So here they are on the Jordan River. The water goes back, okay, it goes back to normal. So now it's this massive flooded river again. Here they are, they're on this side. The world they've always known is on that side of the river. They can't cross it again. So it's almost like going into, like when you're going to fight the end dude on Mario and the door shuts behind you and you can't get out of the castle. So that's old school for those of you who don't know. But anyway, so the rivers, and here they stand. They can't go back. The river won't let them. They can only go forward to inherit, to receive what God has given them. And so here they are. They're on the Jordan. They're on the shore of the Jordan. They're on the plains of Jordan near Jericho. Jericho is a massive fortified city with a massive army known for its militant abilities. And so they're just right within walking distance of Jericho. These enemies that want to just destroy them. So they're in the midst of their enemies. They're on a plain, which means if you know what a plain is, it's flat. There's nowhere to hide. They're completely exposed. They're brand new. They don't know what they're going to do next. Joshua's a brand new leader, and they kind of look at Joshua and go, "Okay, here we are. Do we set up tents? Do we dig trenches? Do we try to build a fort? What are we going to do? There's a lot to get done. Well, this is the first stage of this brand new journey where we're going to face all these trials and stuff. We want to be ready. We want to be prepared. What's the first thing we need to do? Do we need to take a collection and get money together? Do we need to start making swords? What do we do? There's a lot to be done. We're exposed in the midst of our enemies, terrified. What do we do?" And Joshua says, "Well, this is what God says to do. We're going to make a pile of rocks." Oh, yeah. Going to make a pile of rocks. So, it sounds really beautiful when you read it in the Bible, but if I look at my leader and he goes, "Here we are surrounded by our enemies, totally exposed. There's no way to go back. We can't run if they did attack us. So what do we do now? We're going to make a pile of rocks." I would be a little confused, to say the least. So why are they doing this? I mean, there are a million things that they could do at the outset of your... There are a million things you could do as parents when you start. I mean, you've already done some things. But what do you do at this stage as a parent? There's so many things you could prepare, so many things you could do. Bailey is getting local license. Me and Katie are figuring out that we're going to go to Bulgaria. What is the first thing you do in this journey, in this new stage of life with a new leader and a new outlook and so many unknowns? What's the first thing you do? And Joshua says, "We're going to get a stone for each member of the family, each tribe in the body of Israel. Nobody's left out here. We're going to get a stone for each one, and we're going to build up a pile of rocks, and we're going to make it a memorial." And Joshua says this is why we're making a pile of rocks, because God is going to do the work. We're going to inherit this land. It's ours. All we have to do is receive it. So let's open up our hands and have it. But you see, if God promises something, God delivers. So God brought us into this land, said it's our home, so it's going to be our home. But here's what we need to do. We need to start by building a memorial, doing something, making a physical representation of the power of God. The God you just saw, a flooded, enormous river completely stopped up in a wall and you rocked across. That God, the God who did that miracle, the God who can stop the Jordan River from flowing, the God who can intricately knit a baby girl and count all of her days even before she's in the womb and know her. That God who did that miracle, The God who knew who you were and knew that you were awkward and strange and all this stuff. Babe, I'm talking about me. And you couldn't talk and all this stuff. And yet said, nevertheless, that person is mine for a great work. The God who could say, I know you're really a peasant people. You don't own anything. You don't have any big military training. And here you are with nothing, totally exposed. And the God who could bring them across the Jordan River and say, this is your new home. That God. Let's not forget who we are and whose we are. So, let's take a stone from every tribe and build it up. And this is for us. This is so that we never forget in the days ahead when they're going to be surrounded by enormous armies that are much bigger than them. They're even going to be betrayed by people in their own families. When we have to face plagues and sickness and betrayal and enemies and fortified cities, we have to face all these trials and troubles a lot bigger than we are. And we're wondering what we were thinking and how we'll ever make it through. We need to go back to these stones. And maybe just sit here for a while and remember who we are and whose we are. That the power of a God who could stop the river from flowing, the God who did the miracle of starting us on this journey, is the God who will get us through. But it's not just for you. It's not just so that you can see it and you can meditate. But here's the thing. It's going to be for your children too. You got to remember now, he's not talking to a single couple. He's talking to an entire generation of people. So if you're sitting here this morning and you go, that's not for me, I don't have kids. If there's somebody younger than you, it's for you. If there's even somebody that does not know the Lord the way you do, this is for you. This is, build these stones up, and every time your kids come by and they go, why is there just a pile of rocks over there? You're gonna have an opportunity. You're gonna have an opportunity. When they say, why that? Why is that there in your life? Why is that there in your family? Why is that there in your country? Why is that there in your home? Why is that a regular practice that you do? Why do you act that way? Why is that in your house? Why do your children have to do this? Why as a family do you gather around and do that? When they ask why and they point at it, your opportunity is there. And you tell your children about it. You don't go, well, we just built that a long time ago and, you know, we don't have time for that right now. You don't say, well, you know, it's just something we do because we're weird and we're us. You don't go, you know what? I really can't remember. It's important, but I just probably didn't have anything else to do, so we built a pile of rocks. You say, this is perfect. I'm so glad you asked. I got to tell you about this. So here we are, you know, a bunch of peasant people, have nothing, never seen anything great. God holds up the Jordan River, you know, all this stuff. And you tell your children who you are and whose you are. And then you tell them who they are and whose they are. And you tell them about the God who brought you through this journey. And you tell them about the God who started the journey. You tell them about the God who gets all the credit for you receiving every good gift. Talk to them about the God who gets all the credit for getting you through every major trial, because that's the God that started and called you, and that's the God that brought you to the end. And so you will pass on your heritage to the world. And it all starts with a pile of rocks. You know, it's interesting. We all love that scripture passage. Choose this day who you will serve, right? I have the plaque in my house too. You know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's right there over my door. I've got a good pastor. That's just such a, like, I don't have it on my car though. I need to get a bumper sticker. But that's just one of those verses, right? It's just everywhere. It's like one of those keystone. Funny thing, you know, you come to the end of the book of Joshua, and these people, they build these stones, and then they get all these stones. By the way, they get the stones while the river's still not flowing, and they get them then. But then when it's done, Joshua's like, oh, hold on a second. Just because the river's back to normal doesn't mean we can forget what God has done. Go back, get the rocks that you got out of the middle of the Jordan, which you would never have been able to get if God hadn't stopped the Jordan from flowing. Go get those rocks. We're going to pile them up. Tell your children about them forever and ever and ever. We're never going to forget. This is who we are. This is whose we are. And God who started will bring us through, and we're going to tell our kids about this. You know, you can say you teach your children well. You can say that you tell your neighbors. You can say you talk to your coworkers about who you are and whose you are. You can say you make memorials, whatever that is. But the proof's in the pudding, as we say. And we get to the end of the book of Joshua in chapter 24, and now all of the people that were young when they built those rocks, they're all old now, and they're all about to die, and Joshua's about to die, and it's the last chapter of the book of Joshua, the very end. Joshua's going to die. He's not in the next chapter of the story of the people of God, because he's old now and he's done his work. All the people that he said, pile up those rocks and tell your kids, and tell your neighbors, and tell the world who this God is that started you on this journey and will bring it to completion, who you are, whose you are. Tell them. All those people are now about to die. They're great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents, and they're coming towards the end. And so Joshua, this old man now sitting in his rocker, gets the speakerphone and gathers all the people around him, the young whippersnappers, and he says, hey, I know you weren't there when the Jordan stopped flowing. Just like I wasn't there, or just like your parents weren't there, or whatever, when the Red Sea was split. So here's the thing. You can't just be God's people because your parents were God's people. You got to choose for yourself who you're going to serve. They did their part. They inherited the land. We get to the end of Joshua. It's home now. It's not a strange place anymore. It's home. God didn't lie. He gave it to them, so they're home. And he says, now who are you going to serve? We know who we served. We built the rocks. But who are you going to serve? And I just got to read this to you. I'm just going to read it. This is what Joshua says. Last chapter. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders of the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And then Joshua said this to all the people. So says the Lord, the God of Israel. Long ago, your ancestors, Terah and his sons, Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. But then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. Then I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in its midst. And afterwards I brought you out. When I brought your ancestors out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your ancestors with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. When they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them, and your eyes saw what I did to Egypt. By the way, they haven't seen any of this. They weren't alive. Afterwards, you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of the Jordan. And the Amorites fought with you, and I handed them over to you, and you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then King Balak, son of Zippor of Moab, set out to fight against Israel. He sent and invited Balaam, son of Beor, and said, curse them. But I wouldn't listen to Balaam. Therefore, he blessed you instead. So I rescued you out of his hand. When you came over the Jordan. Now, some of these people that are listening were like, you know, when they came over the Jordan. When you came over the Jordan, you came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, and so did the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. It wasn't easy. They had to do a lot of fighting. It wasn't all roses. It wasn't a picnic. I handed them all over to you anyways. I sent you the hornet ahead of you, which drove out before you the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored. And I gave you towns you didn't build. And you live in them now. And you eat the fruit of the vineyards. And the olive yards. Olive yards you didn't plant, by the way. Now therefore, serve the Lord. And serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, then you need to choose today who you're going to serve. Whether you're going to serve the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we're going to serve God. Then the people answered, all right. This is it. This is proof isn't in pudding time. Okay? They didn't see the Jordan stop. They didn't fight all the ites, Hittites, Jebusites, yeah. They didn't come through the journey and the hard times and the trials. Isla Jane won't go, you'll go through those, she'll have no idea. You know. Bailey, one day you'll be given out local license. You know, and maybe you'll still be really young like I am when you are. Maybe you won't be, I don't know. But you'll get to that day and you'll hand out local license and you'll go, listen, I know you haven't lived through my story. I know you haven't come through my journey, but I'm trying to hand something on to you here. And it's a treasure. It's to know who you are and whose you are. And it's to know that the one who calls you will bring you through. And it's the one who can teach you to say it as well with my soul, no matter what trial you face. So it's now it's your turn to choose it. And you can't choose for her. And Bailey, you can't choose for them. And we can't choose for our neighbors or our coworkers, or any of the people we love. All we can say is now it's time for you to make your choice. Who will you serve? And the proof's in the pudding, because you see, if the generation before was faithful and they had indeed talked about the memorial, if they had indeed shared with their neighbors and their coworkers and their children and the world about the God who held up the Jordan. This was normal, by the way. They didn't just build the one for the Jordan. It set up a practice whereby the Israelites, anytime God did something great, they'd build another pile of rocks. So there are pile of rocks everywhere if you go to that area of the world. Pile of rocks everywhere. Because whatever you were doing, there was a pile of rocks within sight and you hoped your kid or your neighbor or your coworker would ask you why, and then you got to tell them. And if you've told them now, all these things that Joshua is saying. Joshua, you know, he wasn't there when Abraham was there or when Isaac. So how can he say he saw it? He saw it because somebody else built piles of rocks and told him when he was a child and a neighbor. So Joshua says, who are you going to serve? And Joshua thinks, did we do our part? Did we tell them? Did we build our memorials and were we faithful to them to point out who God is, who we are, whose we are, and who will bring us through? And their answer is, then the people answered together, far be it from us that we should ever forsake the Lord to serve others, other gods, because it is the Lord our God who brought us. Do you hear this? Now they're saying us too. It's their story. It's not their parents' story. It's their story now. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us all along the way, and we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we'll serve the Lord too, and He's our God. This is who we are. Has God done great things in your life? Are you in the midst of a season that seems unconquerable? Have you said, you know what? I will put my trust in God. What journey are you in? Are you in, you know, Jamie and Michael are in parenting journey. What's your journey? Think outside the box here. Guys, you're college students. College was wonderful, but it was very difficult too, right? It's not easy all the time. You're on a journey. Grandparents, you're on a journey. Your grandparents, my grandparents, my gosh, I don't know if I'd even be Christian without them. Cousins, I mean, you know, a coworker, what are you doing at work? Are you at school right now? High school, teenage, high school, middle school? You're on some kind of a journey. Who will be your guide? Who will be your God? What will be the strength that you trust that no matter what part of that journey you're on and no matter how difficult it gets, you will trust that authority and that power to deliver you? The Israelites said it'll be God for us. The Carters just said it'll be God for them. Choose who you'll serve. But you see, it's even bigger than that because our responsibility is not just ourselves. Do you build memorials in your life? Do you take the time and stop and say, today was a day when God did something great and I'm building a pile of stones? It doesn't have to be exactly a pile of stones. And I'm going to build it. And when my children ask me or my friends ask me or my coworkers or my family, I'm going to say, you know why I did that? Because I never want to forget who God is and who I am and what God has done to deliver me. Once you choose, do you share with others? Do you make a memorial out of all the good grace and works of God? Me and Katie, when we got to Bulgaria, we got there right away, and our apartment was twice the size of this stage was the living area of our apartment. These two were our kitchen and our dining area where we ate. So our kitchen would have been right here. That's where we cooked and did dish and stuff. And then our table would have been like right here. I don't even think it's that wide, babe. But we had like a little bench and a table here. And then there was a sliding glass door right here, and that's where you slept and ate. Or that's where you slept, and we didn't have a TV, but if you had a TV, you'd watch there. And there were couches and stuff. And there was a sliding glass door that separated them. And when we got there, we didn't have a pile of rocks. And we wouldn't have put a pile of rocks in our apartment anyways because it's just weird. So instead, we got sticky notes. And we got sticky notes. And we would write down when we needed to see God at work in a time of trouble. We would write that down on a sticky note and we would slap it on that glass door. I remember I got bronchitis. I've had pneumonia 6 times. So when you get bronchitis and you're in Bulgaria, it's trouble. So I wrote down like, don't want to get pneumonia, God. Love you. Heal my bronchitis. I'm trying to do your work. Slap that sucker up on that window. And then when I was delivered from bronchitis, check that off. And it's there to see. We left Bulgaria and we had these sticky notes all over this. We'd come in the house every day and just all these sticky notes. It was our pile of rocks. People come to our house, why do you have sticky notes on your walls? You know, just because we're weird. You know, that too. Well, because, look at this. Let me show you this one in particular. It just happened last week. You know. I love to journal. My journal is right here. I wanted to show it to you because it's pretty. This is my journal. When me and Katie decided to plant the church, Katie got me this journal in Christmas, and we planted this church. If I'd love to share some of the stories that are in here that I've written about what God has done. This very place, me and Katie sat out in the car out there and we just cried and bawled our eyes out because we didn't know where we were going to meet as a church. And God said, you're going to meet there. I'm going to give it to you. It took three meetings with a board and thinking we wouldn't get it. And Eddie knows all about that. Two meetings with a board, not three, two. And we prayed, but God said, that's our place. And it's written in here. It's written in here in April, beginning of April. And we didn't get approval till end of August. But it's in here in April. This is a pile of rocks. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to pray for us. And this is how we're going to pretty much finish up. In the back, there's a table. And there are sticky notes. And there are journals. And there are pieces of paper we can draw. I don't draw. But if you do, there are lots of colored pencils and paper where you can do something artsy. And then we have rocks back there if you're textual and you just like to carry something around in your pocket maybe. Gabby's going to come up and play. And we're just going to take some time for you to build a memorial today. To make a choice of who you will serve. And then decide whether or not you want to tell somebody else who you serve and who will deliver you. So would you stand with me and we'll pray and then we'll take some time to do that. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for calling us. We thank you for saying, I have a heritage for you and a gift for you and a blessing for you and a journey for you. And if you'll just open your hands, I'll give it to you. And it won't be easy. It'll be difficult, but I'm God, so I'll take care of it. But listen, when I take care of it, will you build memorials and remember who I am, who you are and whose you are? And share it with your children and share it with your grandchildren and share it with your neighbors and your workers and your friends. Let the world know who you are, whose you are, who started you on this journey and who will bring you to the end of it. Make this time a time of inspiration for us when maybe we begin a new practice in our lives where we build piles of rocks so we can intentionally share who we are with the world, with our children. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. In the back are the tables and all that stuff's on there. So go on back. We've got a couple of people there to help you. Also, Gabby's going to be singing, so I encourage you to just hear the words of this wonderful prayer.